following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 goo.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime. Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. You're listening to the best pop culture, current events, current affairs show, east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide at theqnow.com. I am your illustrious host, Mark Bland. You can find me on the Twitters, at Mark Bland, M-A-R-K-B-L-A-N-D. I'm also on the Facebooks, and you can find us at theqnow.com. My guest today is our friend Jason Call. What is up, Jason Call?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
It's a loaded question at times. What's up with me? Not much is up with me. Paying attention closely to the politics of the United States of America, as I usually do, sir. Little Bobby's taking somewhat of a break. He'll be interspersedly coming to shows whenever he can. But he's handling some other personal business.
Man in demand.
The man in demand. We are getting close to Halloween, so at some point on this show, I think that we should dive into some Halloween movies, horror movies, and discuss them. And anything that you would recommend off the top of your head that you've seen in the last few years, we can kind of go down that road a little bit, Jason. I know, Jason, were you here for Halloween shows on last year in 2016?
Yes.
You were here?
Yes, we went through our, we did a top three, didn't we?
Yeah, you're right, correct, we did.
It's been, me,
wow.
You, and...
So we've been together on the radio... Basically, for at
probably
least
a year
or a little over,
and some like maybe next week, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I would say it's
we'll go
like
back and look it up.
Yeah, I would say like a year and a month or two or something like that. But it's good to have you on the show as always, sir. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk first about healthcare, okay? Because it was a big thing that he talked about many a time during the campaign trail. He tried famously within the first few days of office to repeal Obamacare, which disastrously failed. Then there was a secondary attempt where they even went out and took a big picture in front of the Capitol building, all together because they had nailed it, you know, but they didn't.
Didn't he brought them all to the Rose Garden?
Rose Garden. But that was nothing either.
Yeah.
Like
didn't
nothing came from
either.
There. But now he has decided, ladies and gentlemen, further down in his first year of presidency, that it is time for him to make a move on healthcare once again. And this time he has decided to go that famous Obama route they complained about so much. And it seems as though our friend Donald Trump's no different than any other president that has ever existed. He's going to use executive orders, which is his right and the rules of the game.
Used to be communistic.
Potentially, but other presidents that we've liked and disliked have used executive orders too. So we are.
Well, they were fine then.
We are not. Yeah, they were only. They were good then. That
the
was
last
back when America,
8 years. They were really bad.
That's well. That's when America was great again. You know what I'm saying? It was great back then. And I really, I feel like, ladies and gentlemen, I know we haven't talked about this, the famous Make America Great Again logo that he has never answered the question. No one's, even John Stewart said that he wanted someone to ask Donald Trump the question of when was America last great? And nobody has done that at all, which is funny to me. We've even had Donald Trump trying to sell hats based off of the hurricane relief.
$28.
USA hats.
USA
it just says red, white, and blue, USA, and multiple colors, of course, red, white, and blue versions of the hat.
The three greatest colors ever.
And so it's been fun. With our latest attempt, he has decided he's going to executive order and release out the ability for companies to deny claims once again.
Yep.
I think that is an amazing thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who has gone out of his way to say that healthcare needs to be fixed. It needs to be repealed. But we've got to maintain the idea that if you have pre-existing conditions, that you won't be denied. Those will be off the board. I'll make sure of that. And he said that himself.
And you know, aren't we really the only Western type society that healthcare is profitable?
To me, it's so weird in the idea, ladies and gentlemen, as well as you, Jason, that healthcare in itself, I feel like should be, and I hate to say this because I know that this sounds really super socialistic. It sounds like I am just the devil and the communist Mark Bland, which is not true. I'm not a communist by any means whatsoever. But I feel like it should be an inalienable right. Listen, you have to have a beating heart to survive and to continue on this planet. And might I go as far as to say to pay taxes, to like earn money so that you can like take it from me in some form or fashion? So if I'm dying, that's not helping you continue your wheel of culture that you have created, this hamster wheel of you need to stay alive longer so that you can work longer so that we can pull more money from you so that you can use our medical service and then just keep the wheel going until the day that you pass away.
He's just so awful. Yeah, this whole Make America Great. You know, the problem with the Make America Great stuff is other countries and health organizations can track these things.
Well, guys,
we know we're not the best.
I think one of the biggest problems with making America great again is the fact that it's the people. You see, what made America great in the past was the attitude of the people.
Yeah.
You had patriotic, hardworking Americans that didn't complain all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. It is 2017. Our communication style has changed drastically. We now get information and news onto our phones. Do I remember my dad talking politics when I was a kid? Of course I don't. But will I say this? Does he talk it a lot now? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's constantly inundated on his Facebook pages and everything. It is a situation that, in my opinion, is gotten out of hand, sort of out of hand. I feel like it is something that our culture appreciates, this ability to get information directly to your pocket immediately. But at the same point, it also changes the dichotomy of the way people interacted. Like, it's really difficult nowadays for me to hook up with people and have things to talk about in mass that I like. It has to be a long period of time, like I would say at least a good year. And there has to have been at least three or four major things, or what I consider like year events, things that have happened within the year, to give me enough juice so that when I go to sit down with them, we're not talking about the same thing everybody talks about every day, which is politics and Trump and this and that and blah, 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 blah. Back in the day, you didn't ever talk to these people. Yeah. The communication was so rudimentary. Yeah. It was just the telephone. And if they didn't answer and you didn't talk to them for a year, you just didn't talk to them. So when you did hook up, you could talk about Trump. You could talk about politics. You could talk about a lot more stuff.
Well, you know, with Trump, ironically, with his Make America Great, the things right now, to me, the only things that America are great at compared to other countries is sports.
Sure.
We prove
in the Olympics consistently
we have the most popular sports per capita. Well, like we have baseball, basketball, football.
I feel like
soccer
is more popular per capita.
Well, soccer is more popular worldwide, but I mean like per country. Like we have like England really only follow soccer.
Right. Okay. We have more sports that are large, we have football, we have baseball, we have soccer. Got it.
And the other thing, and he's politicized sports now. And the second thing that we've consistently been great at is Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, our movies tend to be the top watched things worldwide.
Those are the two things that we're consistently good at.
Let's go down a really interesting alley here, okay? Just for one quick second, run with me, Jason. Run with me down this alley, Jason. Do you think that the number one watched movie each year, so like say the year Avatar came out, right? It's considered the most watched movie of all time.
Yeah, it's a billion maker.
Yeah, biggest box office of all time and everything like that. So the most people have seen Avatar. So in the year that Avatar was the biggest movie worldwide, the numbers were astounding. Let's think about the most watched porn video of same year. Do you think that it was watched as many times as Avatar was watched?
Well, what was Avatar? What, 2011?
Something like that. But I'm just saying, whatever year the porn video was of that year that Avatar was popular, do you think that that best porn, like the one that was the most watched, like if we could like tap into the universe and get all the numbers anytime for anything, and we just said, what was more watched in 2011? Was it the number one porn video, or was it the number one movie in the world?
One question, I think I'll be able to answer it. Mainstream porn video or internet porn video?
Okay. I would say that this would be a combination of mainstream views along with internet views, most viewed, because you're gonna have to take into account for Avatar streaming views and all that stuff back then too.
But wasn't then, and I'm not a huge porn watcher, so just because I know this doesn't mean I'm gross, but I know it because it was so disgusting. They even had regular YouTube videos with a camera on people's faces. The reaction to the video.
Are you going
to
say two girls, one cup? Okay.
Would that have been the most viewed? Okay. Because that actually had a secondary role with non-porn views of people's faces reactions. Okay, all right. And celebrities doing that.
Okay, so it's possible that Two Girls, One Cup's the most viewed porn-esque.
How would you find that out?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we could probably search it up in the computer. Maybe we'll do that during
let's
the...
Let's do that. We're going to do let's that put that in our search history.
Yeah, let's... I'm going to put it in my search history as soon as
Two
we're
girls,
done.
Girls, One Cup.
But I just feel like... I wonder because I feel like... It's such a natural instinct, and there are guys that want to see that multiple times a day.
Well, think about it.
And they would do that multiple times a day. And so, like, Avatar is such a long movie, right? And a porn is like a half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. You know, it's a weird argument because I'm talking about movie. Yeah. So I want it to be longer than 30 minutes. I want it to be 45 to an hour.
Well, I mean, most porn movies to me should just be like 2 minutes.
But should we consider a clip of like two people having sex? Like maybe it's one of these Bang Bus videos, right? That's the most watched porn video of all time, right? That would be an even more interesting question. What has been watched more, the most watched porn video or the most watched mainstream movie?
Right? Between all these, there's a lot of mainstream like porn sites like... Porn sites you hear in like mainstream conversation.
What do you think is the most, between me and you, what do you think is the most watched video
ever
of all time? Like, not internet, I'm saying movie, video, TV show. Like, what is the most watched thing of all time?
Probably Star Wars.
It's
first one.
It's possible. You're talking about the 77 one?
Just because of so many different variations it's been
released. I'm
going to
go a different direction. I'm going to say Wonderful Life.
Because of the Christmas.
Every year it becomes so popular back then watching it on
TV.
Such
a good movie.
And then it was very popular in the theaters. Or actually, if I remember correctly, it wasn't popular in the theaters. It became a cult classic on TV. But then it was every year they would show it. So here's the fun. We have decades.
Well, and it's got about 30 years on it.
We have decades. Okay, so like whereas a movie can be watched at any time today. In 2017, we can pull up any movie, including Wonderful Life, and watch it immediately, now. It's probably on our phone right now.
I wonder if you could argue that you might have easier access to different porn clips than you would movie clips.
So, with the ability to do it at any time, I don't need or feel like I need to be somewhere to watch it. So, if it's 1949 or 1950, right, and you have a TV and they're going to play It's a Wonderful Life,
you could only watch it then.
Every single person has to watch it at the time that it comes on because you can't tape it. And you've got multiple decades of that. So, we're saying instead of piecing together 6 million people watch this video over a year like it today, you can go 14 million watched it one time that year, and that's all on the same day.
You know
so like you've got that so many millions of times over the decades, that's got to be one of the most watched.
We should pair a classic movie with a classic porno. We'll have to probably think
and
about
now,
this.
Think
I can't
about
name
this.
Classic
think about
pornos
this.
Off the top
now,
of my head.
Now they'll play them 24 hours in a row. Every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
And so
Christmas
you've got
story.
All the like people that are watching it throughout the day.
But no, like type in It's a Wonderful Life and type in, say, what like Debbie Does Dallas. Everyone knows that.
Sure.
Wonder what the hit difference would be. How many hits Could they still show that? Like, when you type it in, do they still
show hits? Google? Like, which one gets more hits?
Like, yeah, like 12 million hits total.
Well,
Google.
You just keep that in our little notes. Make a note, and we'll check this. We'll check this
so
out.
So far, we're going to look up Two Girls and One Cup.
Yep. We're going to look up the best porn video of all time.
Go to thequnow.com and get all your porn needs. Oh, we'll have links to everywhere.
Okay, all right. So we kind of got diverted there for a second, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to let loose of Donald Trump, just think about porn.
Porn videos, specifically. And whether they're more popular
than Avatar.
Yeah, our friend Donald Trump has decided to do this, and I feel like here's the problem. He doesn't think these things through. I think that's the biggest issue most people, like me and Jason, have with a guy like Donald Trump. I don't mind that Donald Trump's president of the United States. And I don't mind him doing things as – I understand. I don't mind him doing things to attempt to do presidential stuff, whether it's an executive order or to work on this or to like go down like Hurricane
Harvey. You nailed it the first time. He doesn't know anything.
But so his problem is, ladies and gentlemen, he does no real research, and he thinks that every person that's talking to him knows everything about whatever they're talking about.
And
it's like
he takes what they say.
It's not that, because there are people that could say, listen, if you do this executive order, it will do this, 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 and this
to Obama.
If you don't, hold on, regardless of Obama. If you don't do it, we stay here, 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 and here, okay? If you cut these things, this increases. Like, they can tell him these things. And you know what? It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if they're a Republican. They're just a person who understands these numbers and understands the value of what he's making cuts to and changing.
You know, to me, what Trump is? Trump is going to dad after mom's told you no. Okay. Dad doesn't know anything about what mom just said. So you go to dad and you say, hey, can I do this? And you get your answer. Because when Obamacare, whether you like it or not, Obama put in time. He put in effort. He put in the hours.
Sure.
He went around.
He definitely did.
They held hearings. They had meetings. They went. Remember the famous group table meeting with McCain? And McCain said something and Obama answered back. Elections have consequences. Everyone remembers that meeting.
Sure.
He had those. Trump is not engaged. Trump, I guarantee you, if he was forced to answer a question, he couldn't do it. He couldn't tell you anything about the healthcare bill that got voted down. He couldn't tell you anything about what's in it, what it does, because when he talks about it, he just says it's great and we have great stuff. And we have lots
of proving that the president of the United States as a person within the system has to have knowledge and understanding the government, of the decisions being made, of the reasoning behind things
or just
that people
anything.
Are telling. That's what he's proving, ladies and gentlemen. And it's really weird to say, because at one point in history, and I'm sure, Jason, you might or might not agree with me, I don't know. We said that George Bush was an idiot for many different reasons, okay?
Well, he said a lot of dumb things.
But here's the funny thing. He did say a lot of dumb things.
Now he seems
but he didn't say,
him a heartbeat.
Dude, George Bush didn't say as dumb of things as Donald Trump does. And even though, here's the funny thing, George Bush's, in hindsight, now look more like slip-ups than anything else.
And here's the thing, too. Like, one of George Bush's big pieces of legislation was No Child Left Behind. He actually worked on it with Ted Kennedy.
Right.
Ladies. He actually put in the work.
And that was to help people.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
But he actually at least had knowledge and knew. To me now, it
He really believes that this country runs like a business.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And there's so many people that are suckered into that belief. And it's like, you guys don't get it. Your business runs like a business.
I was going to say, Trump. Literally tonight, I now know how he got where he got.
Here's the thing. The United States of America does run financially in a business format. But it also, the decisions that are made are based off of a moral and emotional format.
Yes.
And that, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Say you own an extermination company, right? All right. So you're Billy the Exterminator. Now, here's the deal with Billy the Exterminator. Billy the Exterminator runs his own company. Everyone has to do what he says, because technically a company like his exterminating company is a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Okay. So he runs off emotion too. So don't get me wrong. The idea of a business replicating the United States is there.
Yeah.
He is making business decisions based off his emotions. Here's the difference. The United States of America as a whole country has decided to use emotional checks and balances. So if your emotions run too high over here, conservative, the liberals are going to check you and balance you out, or vice versa. That's how this works. Billy doesn't have that. So Billy can go do whatever he wants. Now, Trump has been doing this his entire career. He has always been, and I'm just saying this for the sake of the discussion, a dictator of his own businesses. Therefore, everyone had to answer to him. Now he's realizing there's this emotional aspect that chooses on voting and the people that will make these decisions. And sometimes when your Feinsteins or your Chuck Schumers or your Nancy Pelosi or whoever defect a little bit or whatever and they don't want to work with it. Or who's the ones that were on the Republican side?
They, McCain, from Maine. But I forget what her name is.
Regardless, when McCain steps away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big emotional push and move because you have a lot of people with emotion who are invested in trying to repeal Obamacare. It's really like a personal thing for them. And then here comes McCain, who's one of them, and says, okay, check and balance. Yeah.
Well, and with government.
You don't have that, Donald Trump, in your regular job.
With not everything in government is profitable, money-wise. Not everything is about making money. Some of it is about giving to people who don't have something so they can have something so then everyone can work together. In Donald Trump's world, everything's about dollars. Everything's about profit, making money. And if you're not profitable to Donald Trump, you're not worth anything.
Okay. Taxes is the second thing our friend Donald Trump has decided to tackle. And I think this is a great transition with what you just brought up because taxes become an important thing. The balancing of how much we should try to tax the people versus what we spend and why we spend it, okay? Donald Trump doesn't really care about what we spend and why we spend it. Literally, what he wants to know is, what do we do that we have control over choosing which companies can do these things for us? So he almost wants to set it up to where his company, almost, we're going back to Bush, Cheney, and what was the name of the company? The big Halliburton. We're going back to a Halliburton move. Like, and I think, honestly, Trump saw that from afar. He watched that in 2006.
Yeah, his company's gonna be profitable.
He knew the guys that ran Enron. Let's not even for a second believe that a guy like Donald Trump, who's one of the most powerful billionaires in the world, didn't know the guys who ran Halliburton, or he didn't know the people that ran Enron, or this and company. Here's the thing. He's watching this from afar work. Here's a huge military contract for Halliburton, specifically under the guise of Dick Cheney, who's the vice president. I've got businesses. I'm a person who can be in politics. And now here he is. And here's the problem that he has. I don't think anyone really understood or recognized the fact that Cheney had Halliburton. I think it was a company that he had. They just didn't realize how deep it got with the government. And then when all the information came out, WikiLeaks? Wasn't it WikiLeaks that released all these things about Iraq?
I had to look that up. That might be there. I mean, it came out of the.
But it came out during their time in office.
Well, yeah, because everyone knew.
Because it was like the last year. The last year that they were in office, like 07, 08.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knew Halliburton, and by then Enron had already crashed. That was in 08. So.
But the thing about tax cuts, and when Donald Trump, tax cuts is like ice cream for dinner for kids. It's super, it's just something to say. It's so annoying. Like, here's the thing about tax cuts.
We're never going to get rid of all taxes because none of you are going to go out and like work on the road every day.
And
okay, so that's not going to ever happen.
To understand Donald Trump, you've got to put him on your level of your day-to-day work in your life.
Okay.
With tax cuts.
Got it.
Tax cuts is taxes or the government's income.
Right.
So let's say you, Mark Blinn, or myself, Jason Cole, let's say we, whatever the random number Trump would throw out, let's say it's 20%.
Okay.
Let's take 20% of our income away. So now we have to figure out what we're going to get rid of, right?
Sure.
And what we get rid of first? Shit we don't care about.
Well, this was kind of my argument.
And that's what Trump is going to do. The government gets rid of 20% of their income. Shit they don't care about starts getting cut.
Well, basically, this goes back to the reason why the 2008 crash happened in the first place, in my opinion. I don't go down this road of taxes, or I don't really hammer the subprime mortgage industry the way everybody wanted to. But I will say this. Subprime mortgages were a huge fallout from that situation. And
predatory lending.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. With the subprime mortgages, in most cases, these people were living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. All right. At the same time, you have companies like BP and oil companies, OPEC, who were on their verge of basically coming up with reasons every week. And the Shah of Iran farted. Okay, we got to raise gas prices. So every summer, like 05, 06, 07, and 08, you got from like $2 to $2.50 to $3.50 to $4 a gallon by 08 summer. And so here's your problem. I live paycheck to paycheck. I have to buy gas. So now that it's twice as expensive as it was when I started my paycheck to paycheck journey, now I have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And you know, I have to take money from somewhere. And there's where your 20% goes. You go, where did it go? Well, I have to be able to get to work, so I have to put it in my gas tank so that I can turn around to try to pay the large mortgage that I was living paycheck to paycheck on. And so now I'm upside down. They're coming for my house. And guess what? Now I can't pay property taxes. Now I can't pay a bunch of other taxes that you want me to continue to pay because of these things. And so if you're cutting taxes left and right, but you're not getting an incentive to the people of America on their daily usage things, there's going to be an issue.
And you know, to piggyback on what you said too, one of the myths about this the mortgage bubble was that it was somehow like all these poor people that weren't paying their mortgages who couldn't afford their houses. It was well-to-do to upper-middle-class people who were in these $300,000 and $400,000 homes.
Well, that was the other argument that I made many a time
on
the show.
And they were the companies who were cutting jobs.
This is
a
situation
where
mom and dad, Jason, I don't know if you've ever heard this directly, but mom and dad grew up in the 70s and bought a house like my mom and dad did.
Yep.
And they worked their butts off. And that house only cost them $25,000 because that's all houses costed back then. But then by the 1990s, their house was worth 100 to 110. So now they start looking for, you know, it's been 20 years we've been living in this house. Let's look for some new pastures. Let's go somewhere else. Let's find a new house. And so they're finding ones for 150, 160, 170,000 in the mid 90s. So they turn around, they sell their house for 110. Then they take the money, they put it, and they only got a $40,000 to $50,000 mortgage on a house in a much nicer, newer area, brand new. And their house, when it's paid off, is already worth 150. So as long as things progress, and they did all the way up through until about 2001, and everything kind of hits crap on 9/11. Okay, and then so houses still increased, the value still increased, but then they found unique ways to play the game. Now here's the funny thing. This is why I mention all this. All right, so in those 1990s, these kids are being born in the 1980s. They're growing up. Mom and dad move in the 1990s to this $160,000 house in this nice area, and it's three bedrooms and three bathrooms, four bedrooms. You know, it's got a three-car garage. It's a beautiful house. Mom and dad busted their ass to get it. And they grow up in that house, and they go off to college. And when they get out of college, they want to live as comfortably as they did before they went to college, what they are used to. So now she's an elementary school teacher teaching kindergarten. He's a mortgage banker. They decide to go to Lake St. Louis or some nice area and buy a $300,000 house because they want to be on the – because they don't want their starter house to be 25. They want it to be up here, okay, like mom and dad. And so they get into that house, then everything crashes because they were paycheck to paycheck on that house because they didn't understand they needed a starter house.
Mm-hmm.
You need to live in that. Listen, I live in a nicer part of St. Charles now, out in the county outside of St. Louis. At one point, I lived in St. Louis County in Hazelwood. My house that I bought there was like $100,000, $102,000 when I first bought it. Me and my wife, we lived paycheck to paycheck at times. And that's our starter house.
Yeah.
And that's where my son was born and my daughter was born. But then when time came and, you know, we felt we could get some value out of the house, we decided to move up to a newer house. And that's what we got. We got ourselves almost a 35 to 40 year old newer house.
Yeah.
40 year newer house. That's a nice jump. And so, but it took me years to get here. You want to do it straight out of college. And that's why we got into the problem that we got in, because it was those kids that were the $300,000 house kids.
Dreams were handed to them, and then
We love dreams in the United States, and dreamers. We love it all. We're going to take a quick break here on the Cube. When we come back, we're going to talk a little horror movies.
Ooh.
We're going to discuss some of the best horror movies of all time, and we're going to see what's on your list, and you tell us, and you'll hear what we're talking about. Plus, I saw the movie Leatherface which is like the prequel to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it. So we'll be back on the queue right after this.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise you, swag. I'm there, baby. Yo. Percocet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Mark Bland with Jason Call today.
Hey.
And we've been discussing porn movies and Trump and taxes and dreams and all kinds of things. We did look some things up between the break. According to Quora and AVN, the most watched porn video. Now, they didn't tell us what the number was. They said the most popular porn video of all time. There's kind of two. There is the most popular mainstream porn movie, as you're talking about, which is Flashpoint, starring Jenna Jameson from 1998.
Which, sadly, we don't even know what
it is. Well, but no, we know who Jenna Jameson is.
We know
who
she is, but
and
not
we know that the movie.
Movie
Flashpoint.
Like, it wasn't something where
probably sold quite a few DVDs, as well as tickets at their. There are still adult theaters out there that show porn movies, and you can go and sit and watch them. Yeah, that's how Pee Wee Herman was caught.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, see?
That was like in Arizona or something, wasn't it?
Was it Arizona or New York? I thought it was just in New York.
It was somewhere.
But then there's the lower, like, celebrity porn tapes. And we come to realize the Kim Kardashian Ray J sex tape has like 175 million views or something. It's just a ridiculous number. And but then we went and did some searching because you wanted to see Debbie Does Dallas versus It's a Wonderful Life. Because we wanted to see hits on Google, like which one has more search results or whatever.
Yep.
99 million search results for It's a Wonderful Life.
I wonder if that's because of the word it's, though.
Debbie Does Dallas had 5 million. So that's the difference in the popularity. But then again, we're talking about a movie that's more mainstream popular in general, that's more thought about.
And the other one's
a
porno.
Plus, here's the other thing. Obviously, porn is involved in all of our lives. But like when we're doing personal things with our significant others and stuff like that, that is the act of sex or whatever we're doing. So we're not searching anything out in most cases. Yeah. Okay?
Well, and most families don't gather everyone around to watch.
That's the other thing I was going to say. Every single year we have a reminder of It's a Wonderful Life to let us know that it's time for It's a Wonderful Life. Weed or White Christmas or Christmas Story.
Yeah.
We don't have that with porn. There's no once, Lynn. Now, if you work in the industry, there's the award show, so you probably have that reminder there. But beyond that, you don't have a reminder.
Yeah, there's no day.
There's no day where, like, Jason and Mark are talking, and then all of a sudden we're like, is today watch a porn video day? I forgot about that. A porn video day.
I do have a watch Christmas movies day. Do you have one?
I do not have a watch Christmas movies
day.
Now, everybody kind of does this differently. Now, my mom. Hers is like one of the first weekends, like the weekend right after Thanksgiving or one of the first 2 weekends of December. What she'll do is that's the day she puts up her Christmas tree as well as all of her stuff for Christmas. That's her day. She watches Christmas movies all day.
I
don't have a day.
I actually started this day because it's actually not just it became a Christmas movies day, but it was a specific Christmas movie.
Die Hard? Was it a Die Hard day?
It wasn't Die Hard. But November 1st is my Christmas movie day, and it's A Christmas Vacation.
But it
expanded to be, that's the day that we all start watching Christmas movies.
Now, here's the question. When you say that we all start watching, it's just for you and your family?
Yeah.
Do you feel in general?
Me or anyone that's around me.
Do you feel that society in general starts to play
the
game?
They should.
Then? Okay. Now, why November 1st?
It's the day after Halloween.
Okay.
And it's generally that day is when I've noticed that's when the commercials start. You get the car commercials of the driving through the snow.
Snow and stuff.
Kind of begins.
Here comes Santa on a razor blade. Got
it. And, you know, Christmas sort of moves more to the front in Walmart and
things
like that.
Yeah, we kind of, you know what, it's really weird in our marketing in the United States, we've kind of obliterated Thanksgiving from,
yeah, it doesn't really
like there's Halloween, okay, and then while Halloween's out, they're already setting up at Walmarts and places like that new Christmas trees and the stuff to get ready for Christmas, and so like we kind of like negate an entire month of fall.
Speaking of obliterating that, usually stop at the gas station almost every day, either before work or after work.
Okay.
And I noticed, because when I go up to pay now...
Do you have a specific gas station you go to? Yeah, specific brand?
Well, because it's the one I drive by when I go. So
okay, I got you.
But now that they put the cards in the lottery tickets in the counter now.
Right, sure.
Yeah, so it's in the counter, so you see it even if you're not getting one. Now. I've noticed there are no Halloween ones. There are no Thanksgiving ones, but they have Christmas ones out now.
Already. Yeah. I wonder if you just missed it. Like, they've moved themselves back
but
so
I asked,
far.
I asked one of the workers, and they don't remember seeing Halloween or Thanksgiving yet either.
And, you know, that's... I get it. You're going to have weird...
But they used to. You know, they used to have a Valentine's one, a Halloween one, a Thanksgiving one. I remember specifically because they always had a turkey tripler.
Ah.
And that's something that just sticks in. That's a, you know, that whoever thought of that, pretty clever, because that's hard to forget.
Fair enough. We teased it a little bit. I've got a list here of movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me bring my list up really quick. It's the greatest horror movies of all time.
Yes.
Okay. And I want to bring this list up because, I guess I should make sure that I have the right section real quick. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see if I can bring this up for us, and we can get into this. Greatest horror films of all time. Now, last year, you and me and Bobby decided to do something about our top three picks of what we think people should see. And I'll throw in some stuff that I think people should see today, too. But basically... This is the best horror movies, okay? And I want to go through this list. And I'll give you guys the top 10. And then I want to kind of peruse through the list and see if there's anything that pops out that we think should be higher on the list. So we'll have our 10 base movies, okay? And starting at number 10, we're going to have The Silence of the Lambs. Classic movie, Anthony Hopkins. Great, great, you know, fava beans, all that good stuff. Number 9 is Jaws, which is... I've never really considered Jaws a horror movie.
At the time that it came out,
obviously.
I guess the only thing for me...
But there was Grindhouse-type movies back then. Yeah,
the thing that would lessen it is the fact that the other day I own Jaws, and I hardly ever watch it, and I noticed Jaws is PG.
Yeah.
And that's a little...
Takes it off the edge a little bit. Okay, now number 8 is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Great Halloween and horror movie, and that's why we're doing this list for you guys, reminding
so
you of some movies.
So far on the list, that's the only real like horror movie. I mean, Silence of the Lambs is creepy.
More thriller. More thriller.
Yeah,
more drama and thriller.
Yeah.
Number 7, The Thing, with Kurt Russell from the 1980s. Yeah. Not a bad movie. Here's the problem with The Thing for me. Okay, here's the problem with The Thing, and this is why I think that being in the top 10. I don't think that this deserves to be in the top 10. And I'll say
more of a jump scare kind of thing.
It's not even so much that. I feel like it's boring.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that the story doesn't go anywhere. The story goes somewhere, and it's slow, and it's boring.
It's more of a film than a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a thing. Now, number 6, I think totally needs to be in this top 10, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, the first one, for sure.
By far. Number 5, Alien. Not a bad choice.
Yeah.
Once again, another movie I really don't consider horror.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller sci-fi.
Yeah. And thriller. That's what I think of with Alien. But there are a lot of people that will argue. But there's people that say that Die Hard's a Christmas movie. And I go, I get it is a Christmas time placed movie.
But it's an action movie.
But it's an
Christmas
action movie. Like, that's what it is. It's an action movie. Number 4, Psycho. Not a bad choice. Once again, I feel though.
But also thriller.
This is going to be a real, a weird argument, okay? And ride with me on this one, okay? As time progresses, there's going to be more movies that come out. There's going to be some ones that were at one point top of the game, and they fall off by the wayside because these movies just physically are better movies overall. Not saying that this doesn't have nostalgic feel and appeal. I'm just saying, like,
just
in comparison. Yeah, like, let's be honest. Nightmare on Elm Street is a much more involved horror movie.
Yeah.
and great Halloween, then Psycho for me. Like, I think Psycho is a great psychological thriller, but I think it was time-dated. I think the people of that time didn't deal with horror the same way we do. Like, every day on the news, we see gunshot victims laying in the street. We see things like this. That's our day-to-day news.
Well, Nightmare on Elm Street is still gory enough to stand
And it's not even about gore. That's my point. We're just desensitized more. And so I feel like, yes, Psycho's a good movie. Yes, it's got a great premise. It's a fantastic story. And the first time you see it, you are intrigued, and there is a nice twist.
I can only imagine how creepy it was back then.
The twist ending for the 1950s, oh my God, a head turner.
That's what I'm saying, like back then, that was super creepy.
But now, and it's not even in the top 10, now we have Saw. So my
the first one
my,
was good.
But that's my point. My There's twist, like 50 of them now. My twist in the movie has upped the ante a little bit, and Saw as a movie across the board, I feel moves better and is more entertaining than Psycho is.
Saw is one of those movies that I watched the first one. I think I own like four of them. But it's only because I'm one of those guys that if you put out a bunch of horror films and make them for $5 at Walmart.
Right, that's you and Bobby,
yeah. I'll walk by and I'll grab a couple. And then I end up with all these Saw movies I've barely seen.
Okay, so Psycho is going to be, it's number four on the list. Number, and I'll get back to my point in a second. Number three is The Exorcist. Fair enough, good movie. Yeah. Not only a well-acted movie, but also a very entertaining, interesting movie.
Side note to The Exorcist, Exorcist 3 is actually a great film for people who want to watch.
Is that the one where he goes
on George C. Scott one.
George C. Scott one. Yeah, that's not a bad one at all.
That's a pretty good movie.
Halloween, the original one with Jamie Lee Curtis, number two. Comes in at number two. And number one is The Shining. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, but there was a look. But here's the funny thing. Once again, The Shining, I would consider a horror movie, okay? I really thought the movie Room 237, which is a documentary about The Shining and all these conspiracy theories about it, was a very entertaining movie. Actually, probably more entertaining than The Shining itself.
Yeah.
The Shining, I feel like, once again, along with Psycho.
It's a film.
Not bad movies. It's a film.
Yeah, it's not
designed
to
be
in that.
Scared, like for the sake of scare. But at the same point, it does have the girl on the tricycle chasing the kid down the hallway. It does have those thrilling moments.
Probably,
but there's some thrilling moments within it.
But wasn't that one the one that Stephen King, you didn't even like it?
Yes.
The Shining.
Man. Psycho and The Shining, I feel like, need to fall out of the top 10. Not saying that it for many years, like, let's say decades, they deserve to be in the top 10. I feel like these two movies are now, they're kind of overshadowed by some other movies.
I'd have to look. I bet those two are probably now, in, like, AFI's top 100. So right, that might be a reason right there to kick them out.
Now, here I'm going to go down through number 11 through 20, and I already see.
Now we're going to get into more of the horror.
Okay, so number 11 is Friday the 13th.
First one?
The first one, the original one with Kevin Bacon.
Spoiler alert. Yep. The mom's one.
Okay. Once again, twist ending, but they took it up a level from Psycho. Like, do you see my point? Like, the twist ending is up a level. And
number,
that's good.
And Friday the 13th 2 is kind of cool, too.
So, Friday the 13th, in my opinion, could bump Psycho out and at least make the top 10.
Yeah.
Number 12, Poltergeist. Not a bad movie. I just feel.
Also, PG.
Here's my problem with Poltergeist.
It's creepy.
I don't think it has replay value.
No.
I think it's one of those stories that once you see it one time, you just go, okay, seen it, done it.
You know what? Speaking
it's cool.
of that, Poltergeist, I had a school trip.
And you'll always remember every scene from it.
I had a school trip Friday.
Uh-huh.
We were at the Outlet Mall.
Okay.
Poltergeist was playing on, you know, the Premier Outlet Mall. You ever been in that food court?
Yes.
At that area with like seven TVs?
Sure.
Poltergeist was on one of them.
You guys went to an outlet mall?
Yeah, we take the kids.
Oh, for the school?
Yeah. They go around and like learn how to shop and stuff like that.
Learn how to shop. That's weird. Yeah. Okay, number 13, Night of the Living Dead. Genre breaker. But I feel like there have been better movies by George Romero himself. Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. Yeah. Well, and even the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I feel outshines Night of the Living Dead. You've got Scream at number 14. Great.
The first 10 minutes of Scream are fantastic. Seven or whatever.
Scream in itself deserves to be top 10. And I'll say this for this reason. Horror movies kind of had a dulling and dead period in the early 90s. The late 80s to early 90s saw a lot of Halloween 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. A lot of for Nightmare on Elm Street 5 and 6.
Body count
a New movies. Nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of Friday the 13th, 6, 7, 8. You know, Jason Goes to Manhattan stuff.
I mean,
basically, what it was, like you said, gore porn and a lot of body counts. There wasn't nothing to it. It was just playing off of something that had some nostalgic value from the early 80s, I mean, late
70s. The first, like, 7 minutes of that's really good. But then from there, it sort of becomes
Wes
a teen movie.
Craven. Did an amazing job.
Yeah, it was a Wes Craven.
Finding a script that was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And it had younger people that we could have done it. Like, yeah. I was 20 years old or 18. No, I was like 19.
96 or something.
I was like 19 or 20 when this movie came out, and the people that were acting in it were the same age as me. And I identified with those characters, and I love the twists, and I love all the aspects. It is a fantastically written movie. It deserves. And you know what else is a fantastically written movie by Wes Craven? A New Nightmare. Another fantastically written movie. That Scream, though, genre changing, and brought horror back.
Yeah.
Like, after that, we got Know What You Did Last Summer and a bunch of other movies that, like, kind of brought back horror movies.
And, you know, like, some of the 80s
and
classics.
Scary Movie, even the fact that they were making fun of horror movies became popular.
But with Scream, too, like with, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, the sequels I can kind of stomach as well.
Right.
They're not that bad. Like, they kind of have a twist, they have a story. And, you know, like the other ones, I think I own all Nightmare on Elm Street. I own all Friday the 13th. I'm pretty sure.
Now, coming in at number 16 or number 15, Carrie, not a bad movie.
Yeah.
16, Dawn of the Dead. 17, Rosemary's Baby. 18, The Omen. Very creepy movie.
That's really creepy.
Number 19, the original It. Number 20, The Evil Dead. Number 21, The Ring. Now, that's funny.
The Ring is
It's not
freaky.
Until we get to number 21. That we finally find one of, I would say, the last 10 years that finally makes the list. Something from 2000 to now.
All right, wait, like, quick, well, real question. Years of, who's scarier? Pennywise in the original It or Pennywise from 2017 It?
2017 It, yeah. I feel Pennywise is a much scarier.
Because Pennywise in the original sounds like
I've only seen half of the new It movie. Okay,
yeah.
I haven't seen much.
Pennywise
of it.
Is freaky in this new one. In the original one, he's like, hey, Georgie.
Also coming in at number 22 is Hellraiser, so we get something from the 90s family. And 23
and
is
an iconic horror figure.
28 Days Later. Which I liked, but
that's
28
one, like,
weeks later has Jeremy Renner in it. And actually the first 10 minutes of 28 weeks later is probably
too.
The most intense movie watching I have ever done for a horror movie. Like,
is
it Shaun
of the Dead in there?
I love it. Number 27, an argument I feel like for at least top 20, it's in 27th, American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Once again,
creepy.
PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
Creepy.
But the scene where he gets torn up, man.
Yeah, man. There's some rough ones. Saw comes in at number 29. That's probably the newest movie on the entire list.
The first one was pretty
good. But it's good to see Nosferatu or whatever.
The one
at 33. The one from the 1930s or 20s or whatever.
What's the one movie that they made about the making of Nosferatu?
That had Willem Dafoe in it.
And that's a good movie.
Shadow of the Vampire.
Where he kind of, the idea is that he's an actual vampire.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And now you get into The Conjuring, Misery, and a few other movies that were good.
Yeah, Misery.
I need to find a list of... I have to find a list of the best... horror movies the last 10 years.
You know, to me, like, when I think of horror movies, a lot of those movies were films that got stuck in a genre. To me, if you want horror movies...
Like Aliens, yeah.
Yeah, go to Netflix and click horror. Those are the horror movies where it's just...
Well, no, I feel like that there are movies that are a little boring and bland, like the original Halloween. Like, the ones that Rob Zombie made, the remakes, they were fantastic. Yeah. But, like, the original...
Oh, there you go. House of 1,000 Corpses.
I would go with Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects is an actual better movie.
I would like to literally personally see. I would like to see a writing combination of Rob Zombie and Quentin Tarantino together on a movie.
Yeah.
I think it would be
or the
really
guy
interesting.
Or Eli Roth.
I'm not a big Eli Roth fan.
I just like Hostel. think that's it. Hostile okay, to here's me. The problem with if you're going to do revenge movies.
Hostile's problem, and Andy described that recently on an episode of The Q. The problem with Hostile, the first 40 minutes is basically a porn film. Okay, yeah, the last 45 minutes are fantastic. It just, it's 45 minutes of porn.
For revenge movies?
Sure.
That's got to be in the top 10. Because that's classic.
I want to throw something out there. I just saw the new Leatherface movie. That's the prequel to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I will be the first to say, is it this mind-blowing movie? No. Is it better than the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre from a few years ago? Yes.
Oh, has to be.
It is definitely better.
I think you and I can make
it. And it explains right the background of this character, a of Leatherface, a lot better. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it about a 7. It's a solid, decent horror movie. You're not wasting your time. You'll get some entertainment value out of it. Have I seen better horror movies? I have. You've got some new movies out there that are really great. Got stuff like The Conjuring. That was a fantastic movie. There was a movie that came out in the late 90s. I want to say like 98, 99, 2000. Somewhere in that three-year range. Called Dead Silence. And it was like a puppet. Like a marionette.
Oh, yeah. That's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie.
I'll have to watch that.
There's also a movie from the 80s called Popcorn, and it's really good, and it's a horror movie. I was a big 80s horror movie fan because I grew up as a kid during that time, so I was influenced quite heavily by 80s horror flicks. That's why I was so impressed when Scream came out, and we were just discussing that.
Yeah, and it's another good film.
So you have Christmas movies that you love. Do you have any Halloween movies that you like to see? Is there anything that like stuck out in your history of watching Halloween stuff?
There's
like,
things that I've...
There are horror movies that stuck out for me, like what's the one with... it's the Stephen King movie from the 1980s, Salem's Lot. That's one of those movies that just stuck out from my growing up, or like the histories of Halloween's and stuff like that.
A movie that always scared me when I was a kid. And if I watched it now, it's kind of like, wow, this is kind of cheesy, was Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn. Not a bad movie when you're a kid watching it for the first time. Like, if I was to show it to my son or your son or something like that.
They'd be like, what? The news is scarier than that.
There's some value
there.
It's
creepy.
Here's the funny thing about Stephen King movies, okay? The funny thing about Stephen King movies is they always are based off an amazing original premise.
Yeah.
Okay? The original premise is always fantastic. Mm. Like, the idea of she's stuck in a car. And there's a huge St. Bernard that is rabid that is stalking the car and waiting for her to get out, and there's no one to save her. How does she do it? Like, what happens?
Well, and the,
okay, that's a fantastic premise. Yeah. Now, making the movie becomes...
Well, there it's all inner dialogue with
there
her.
There was one called Man's Best Friend from the late 80s. Really unique premise that the dog becomes self-aware. And understands that it's attacking. And so, like, it's got an owner that's trying to control it. And then eventually it's a turn on the owner type thing. Not a great movie, but luckily, for the time period, entertaining. I just noticed something here on this list. At number 40, a movie. Now, see, here's where, like, the list and I think general opinion
starts to filter out.
Well, I don't know if it starts to filter out because when I say this, you'll be like, wow. I didn't even think about that for the top 10, but it totally makes sense. Lost Boys.
Yeah.
I feel like Lost Boys is a top 10 horror movie.
It was to be a horror film.
Yeah, it was
film.
Trying to be like scary. Like when they come over the ridge, all the four vampires, they made the posters out of it with them standing there, and you see the fire lighting
It's got the
up.
Soundtrack.
It's got a great soundtrack.
I had that soundtrack.
From Dusk Till Dawn is at number 44. I definitely feel it needs to be a little higher on the list.
Yeah, it was made to be.
It's better than The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
So
to me, like, that was made to be like a campy action.
But then you
horror.
Got the Keanu Reeves Bram Stoker's Dracula, and I'm like, I didn't like it. I didn't hate Keanu. I didn't think the movie was the worst.
Like,
but once again, it really stuck to the gothic theme. So like,
say,
it's
like,
very dated feeling and
visually,
looking. Yes,
it's a fantastic film. It's very slow.
Yeah,
it's
extremely slow.
But visually, like, it looks amazing.
Number 46, the remake of Dawn of the Dead. Number 45, an interesting movie. Jeepers Creepers. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
You know, there's another movie that I'm sure will pop up on here eventually that I really liked. It was a Paul Walker movie. It was called Joyride. And I liked it a lot. That movie is
He's like tracking them? Like
he's in a truck, in like a diesel truck, and he's trying to like track them down. Yeah. And the movie's called Joyride, and he gets on there, he's like Candyman or Candy Breaker or whatever.
Speaking
like.
Speaking of movies like that, you ever seen the movie with Kurt Russell, Breakdown? That's another.
That's the one where he's.
Where'd that come? Yeah, where they take his wife.
Where they took his wife, but it's also. Is that guy Brian Dennehy in it? I think like
not
he's
Brian
the bad
Dennehy. Is, it's,
but it looks like Brian Dennehy.
It's a character actor from the 90s. He's dead now.
Yeah, he's dead. Was he also? Is he the one who was?
He's in Needful Things.
Wait. Was he also? Was he in Over the Top? Not Over the Top. He's in
Breakout or what was that Dustin Hoffman movie with the monkey and Cuba Gooding Jr. Is it Outbreak?
Outbreak.
He's in Outbreak. He's like the guy that throws all the pictures of the people on the table. If I looked him up and showed you, I can't remember his name. He's a character actor from the 90s, but he's the bad guy. He's the truck driver.
Yeah, yeah. He wears all black, right? Yeah, yeah, he wears all black.
But you know, he's got that movie just like fell out of nowhere. Like
interesting movie that came out a few years ago with Chris Hemsworth in it that I really liked when it was said and done. Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
You might have forgot, ladies and gentlemen.
Isn't
that
where
that
they're filmed that and they're being studied or something?
Well,
like
that, basically, it's that they have these situations that pop up around the world, and they're creating them, and they're to bring horror to the world. And they try different things in different places at different times.
That's a good one.
And it's almost like a competition show. It's really weird. You have to watch the movie. Children of the Corn hits number 55. Creepshow number 56. Not a bad movie. The Mist. Once again, I haven't seen The Mist all the way through. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. 60s Devil's Rejects.
The thing about The Mist is it has a really like ballsy ending.
Okay. Here's a movie argument. There's a movie called Wolf Creek. There's a movie Paranormal Activity. There's a set of movies that fall into this. And actually, you know what? You brought up Eli Roth. Hostel falls into this.
Hostel, yeah.
Where it's a great premise, but the movie literally is only 30 to 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they have to just fill it in with something on the front end or the back end.
You know, to me, the perfect movie of a movie with a great premise that fell apart about 30 minutes in.
Okay.
Another Stephen King film.
Okay.
Maximum Overdrive.
Okay, great. Well, exactly. Once again, like I
great
said,
idea.
Everything with Stephen King is a fantastic original premise. They get
he
the first
wrote that sound
they get into the first strength, 35 to 40 blade. Minutes of the movie. And you keep watching because you're hooked on the idea that there's going to be some outcome to this premise that's unique. And so then you get about 35 to 45 minutes in and you realize now he's just – they're throwing things at the screen to keep it
now
moving.
It's just this truck, that car.
Here's the thing. The best – version of a Stephen King movie. If you want to see a really good Stephen King movie that's never recommended to anyone, and it literally shows you how good this guy was at writing and creating a sense of drama and fear within a movie, the movie Christine. Yeah. Watch Christine, because as human beings, we all have relationships with cars. Like, we've all had many different cars, and we've seen different old-style cars and things like that.
The use of music in that movie.
And the
really
use of music
too.
Is fantastic in the movie. And the guy who plays the one who owns the car.
Yeah.
The sunken eyes, the look on his face. He really feels like someone who becomes possessed.
Yeah, over time he starts to...
Like, he really becomes this thing. Great movie. This is an interesting movie, ladies and gentlemen, and we're giving you a little bit more than I thought we would when it comes to this stuff, because we're getting ready to get out of here on the show because we're almost done. But 13 Ghosts, another movie that's fantastic. It's got the guy who played the TV show, Monk. Remember Monk?
Yeah,
it's got him.
Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub, yeah.
He's in the movie. It's a fantastic movie because of the way that the premise sets out. And the beauty of it is that they utilize the 13 Ghosts and the idea of this premise across the entire movie. That's what I like. That's why I like Joyride. Simple premise. This guy's going to chase these kids down.
Yeah.
But they did it in such a really unique and interesting and fantastic fashion. That's really what I love. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, because it is Halloween time, we are getting close to the day of Halloween. If you see some of these movies... Oh, by the way, Shaun of the Dead. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah,
it's always worth a watch.
It is.
It's always worth a watch. And have you ever seen Drag Me to Hell?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Yes.
With Octavia Spencer or Let the Right One In?
That's a great movie.
What about Descent? The Descent.
The Descent. I haven't
that's
seen
got
that
Rosario Dawson in it, and that's actually on quite a few lists. I've looked up top horror movies of all time, and this is one of those lists too. But like the ones you need to watch lists.
Yeah, the
Descent shows up more than any other movie. As this was never seen originally, a lot of people don't know about it. You need to see it, and I'll tell you something, not bad. It's almost like a Fast and the Furious in cave spelunking. But but it's interesting. It's interesting because it's got a – what's the Will Smith movie where he's by himself all alone forever?
Oh.
And he fights the demons.
Yeah, it's the remake of Omega Man, but I can't remember what.
It's not The Stand or something like that. I thought it was like a one-word movie or something like that. Anyway, if you guys get a chance, that's not a bad movie either.
That is pretty good.
If you get a chance, watch any of these movies. Oh, wow. They're finally, The Howling, which is one of my favorite ones from when I was a kid growing up, shows up at number 76.
But you know how I watch Christmas movies always on November 1st, always on Halloween at some point when we're giving away candy now that I have kids?
Yep.
Ghostbusters is always on TV.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
My son was a Ghostbuster last year for Halloween,
so we
had a really good time with it. I don't know what they're doing this year. I'm going to find out. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on the show. First off, I want to say thank you to our web sponsor, johnbielroofing.com. Check out John Beal Roofing. Listen, they support me. They help me out. Why don't you support them and help them? They're good people over there at johnbielroofing.com. Give them a call or hit them up at their website, johnbielroofing.com, and get your roof fixed. Also, I want to say thanks to Cliff Central, cliffcentral.com, Gareth Cliff and those guys over there. Love them for having my show over there on their podcast. So that's going to do it for us here on The Cue. My name is Mark Bland.
I am Jason Cole.
And we will see you guys next time on The Show.